the name of the Lord's Christ, the Messiah, Yeshua Moshiach, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Dear Christian friends, have you noticed the moon? Every year about Easter time, it's no accident. That's why Easter changes. Our Easter festival actually is so closely related to the old Jewish Passover that it changes year by year depending on the lunar calendar. The Jews followed a lunar calendar that actually required every 3 years an extra month to be inserted just to keep it fairly close to our solar calendar. So Easter moves. The Jewish Passover moves. And you see every year at this time that bright moon in the sky. What if you walked outside tonight or on the way home, you noticed a huge fireworks in the sky? We're talking about the kind that you'd normally see the 4th of July. Somebody might even ask, who thought it was Independence Day? But it would be very fitting if when you see the moon, you also think of fireworks, God's fireworks. His way of announcing to us that it is our Independence Day. An Independence Day that Christ brings to us as a shadow from the Old Testament here in the Jewish Passover, foreshadowing for us how we can see Jesus freeing us. We'll see first Him freeing us from the power of sin and then Him freeing us to share the good news. Christ frees us. If you think of Passover, you could ask your Jewish friends about it, still celebrating it today, and they could tell you a few things about what's in that Passover meal. One of them would always be matzah, the unleavened bread. You heard the stipulations that the Lord gave here to the Israelites. It came out of the fact that the Israelites were commanded to leave Egypt in such haste that they wouldn't have time to let the bread rise with the yeast in it. So they were supposed to have unleavened bread ready to go because they left in about 24 hours after 10 mighty plagues of God to convince Pharaoh they ought not argue with the Lord Almighty. He destroyed his own country by his stubborn rebellion and finally lost his own firstborn son. And then he was ready to let the people go. But matzah was part of that hasty leaving in victory that the Israelites had when God set them free from bondage in Egypt. Matzah, the unleavened bread. And you heard how carefully the Lord said, you make sure that before this feast of unleavened bread begins, it's to last 7 days, you get every last bit of it out of your home. Because if anyone eats some bread with yeast in it, he'll be cut off from his people. That expression means cut off by being killed in some cases or just removed from the people of Israel, exiled. What's the big deal with yeast? Still there today. Jewish people still practicing Jews will do their spring cleaning to make sure every bit of yeast comes out of the home, every cracker, every little piece of bread, anything that might have yeast in it, whatever they can't get rid of and burn, they will sell to Gentile, non-Jew friends to buy back after the Passover. To make it a family cleaning exercise, they may hide a few little morsels of leavened bread here and there for the children to find. Be an exciting thing. But then just in case they might have missed some little piece of yeast, practicing Jews will also have a ceremony 2 or 3 times before the Feast of Unleavened Bread starts, a ceremony of nullifying whatever might be in their home that might have yeast in it, where they renounce to God the ownership of that and thereby feel that they're clearing themselves of being cut off from their people. What's the big deal with yeast? Why matzah? Why unleavened bread? The Lord's word here is foreshadowing what He shows us in the New Testament. He wanted to give the people another children's lesson, another way, year after year, for 1,500 years until the Christ came. This Passover meal that would remind them of when they left Egypt in haste, it would point backwards to when they had to have unleavened bread to get away in time, to leave the land, to go to the promised land on the far side of the desert. But it was also meant to point ahead, to show us something about yeast in the New Testament that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, uses to symbolize actually two things. One of them, not bad at all. Jesus uses yeast in one of his parables to talk about how the kingdom of heaven spreads. You know, when you put yeast in bread dough, you come back a while later and it has just expanded. You don't even know how every little molecule goes here and there as the gas just gets trapped inside the bread and makes the yeast or the bread rise. But that's one of the few positive examples of yeast in the New Testament. Both Jesus and his apostle Paul use yeast as a bad thing, a symbol of false teaching. As when Jesus says to his disciples, "Watch out for the yeast, the leaven of the Pharisees." The false teaching of self-righteousness, that if we just try hard enough, God will be pleased with us, that we could somehow by our own merits or our own efforts make ourselves right with God. Jesus says, watch out for that. Get rid of it. The Apostle Paul, pointing back to the yeast of that Passover meal, says, Christ is our Passover lamb, and since he has been sacrificed, get rid of the yeast of malice and wickedness, the anger, the rage, the resentment. Celebrate the feast of the Passover in the New Testament as the Lord's feast in the way he really wanted his people to do it all along. But how do you get rid of the yeast? Even looking at the Jewish people that are still practicing it, you can see their frustration in trying to keep this command. How do you actually, in your heart, get rid of all the anger and resentment when a lot of times you don't even know it's there? So often it just comes up at a moment of weakness when you're tired or hungry. Where did that come from? It's as impossible for us to get rid of these sins in our hearts as it would be for you to take a loaf of bread after it has been raised by yeast and try to get rid of the yeast then. You couldn't do it. And we can't get rid of the sin that's in our hearts that's symbolized by this yeast. It hides there. It comes out sometimes. But sometimes it can go for years, hiding in the corners of our hearts. The sins of resentment and anger, grudges. But you have to look back at the Passover, the first one, and see why the Lord instituted it. When you hear Passover, you usually don't think of matzah. Christians are closer trained to think of that lamb, the innocent male lamb, a year old, that was taken care of very carefully by the family because it would have to be roasted whole with no bones broken. A lamb that the blood of it would be taken and painted on the doorpost of the house so that in that last plague, when the Lord finally showed that he had had enough of Pharaoh's rebellion, he was going to send his death angel through the land of Egypt to destroy all the firstborn. And he wanted to rescue his own Israelites from that death and from the slavery of bondage in Egypt. So this innocent lamb was to be put to death. The blood painted on the doorpost of the home. And when the death angel went through, he would pasach. Pasach was named after the angel passing over, the Peshach of the Jews. The angel passed over and the blood of that innocent lamb saved the people from death inside. In every Egyptian home, there was someone dead. Every one of the prisoners in their prisons had somebody in their family that died. Animal firstborn died. But only among the Israelites, where that blood rescued them, was their life celebration and freedom. That blood pointed ahead to Jesus Christ, who would save us from the sins we cannot eradicate from our own hearts and minds and lives. The blood that would wash it all away when He poured it out on the cross for us. An innocent lamb, a male, without blemish, whose blood washes away the sins of the whole world. It's blood that gets deep inside your soul. It gets deep inside your subconscious, down deep in your spirit. The more you hear this Word of God, the more the dear Holy Spirit gives this to you, this cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away all of our sins. It is Christ who frees us. It is Christ who kept these ordinances perfectly in our place and now by His grace sets us free from the sin that was symbolized in that yeast. Obey these instructions, the Lord says, as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. They didn't know it at the time, but they had 1,500 years before the Christ would come. When you enter the promised land that the Lord will give you, as He promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean? Tell them. There's a story told about some parents who went to a pastor-teacher conference in a public school, and the public school teacher was absolutely amazed. Your daughter, without being told to do it, totally unforced, and as naturally as you can imagine, is always showing her faith. She doesn't make a big deal about it, but the things that she says and the things that she does show that she knows she's a child of God. The teacher was very impressed by that. It shows. It shows when you know the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It shows when it has cleansed your heart. It shows in your life enough so that, as with the Jewish people, when their children ask them, what does this ceremony mean to you? There's an answer. Tell them. This Passover means that the Lord passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when He struck down the Egyptians. And it would show in the children's lives, in what they did and what they said. And all the people bowed down and worshiped. I'm looking at this miracle in all of your faces tonight. Because as much as our society lies to us about who we are and what we're like inside, God tells the truth. Our society may think that everybody's just basically good. Our society wants us to tell the children they're fine the way they are. Give them self-esteem. But the Bible, God's holy book, tells us a totally different story. It says that we are by nature completely corrupt, uncapable, incapable of doing anything good, not even able to seek the Lord. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. That's the Apostle Paul, with the Lord's authority, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaking to Christians in a congregation. This is what you were, by nature dead. We can't make ourselves right with God. Our society says we're fine the way we are. God says, no, we're not. God says we're totally corrupt. And our children too. But the miracle that I'm seeing is, why would anybody come? I had a young man who was from a church that still very work righteous, and he was very conscious of this. He's what you call a pre-Vatican II Roman Catholic. And he asked me once, why do Lutherans come to church when they don't have to? Well, the only answer is, it's a miracle. You don't have to. Your sins are washed away. You have the blood of Jesus Christ. The very fact that you're here at all, when there are so many other things to do, is a walking, talking, singing, praising God miracle. Even if you can't sing. Even if your voice is hoarse, it's a miracle that God has worked in your heart, because it is the blood of Christ that forgives our sins and gives us life inside. It makes us sing. One of my professors at the seminary, Dr. Becker, used to tell his classes of future pastors, don't mourn about the Christians who are not coming to worship. Praise God week by week for those who do. Because every single one is a miracle of God's grace that He has worked in our hearts, a new life. Otherwise, we're nothing but death. It is this life of Christ, His forgiveness, that sets us free and makes you want to tell about it. But of course, as soon as the pastor starts talking about telling about it, people start feeling a little guilty. Who did I last tell about Jesus? Who did I invite? I don't know how to tell. I don't know how to talk. I freeze up. I'm not thinking about it. Maybe you're not very good at it. But then again, maybe you haven't asked God to help you get better at it either. Maybe you have reason to feel guilty because you've been hiding your light and not letting it shine so that there's not enough evidence to people around you to say, you know, it really shows with you. I can tell you're a Christian. What is this all about? So that people will ask you to tell them the reason for the hope that you have so that you can do that with gentleness and respect. Maybe you have reason to feel guilty and maybe you just have a tender conscience, but it doesn't really matter. The only way you will have peace, the only way that you will know that this sin too is forgiven so that you can go back out and live the new life is to look at the Lord's Christ, the Passover lamb that takes away the sin of the world and washes with His blood the yeast of sin out of our hearts and lives so that we can tell, so that we can go forth, that we can share the good news of Jesus our Savior. It may not come off as fireworks and so spectacular to the people around you, but it is Independence Day. It is Independence Day when Christ sets us free, foreshadowed in the Old Testament Passover meal, and coming to life in the meal that He has instituted of His true body and blood that is spread for us today. He gives us, by some miracle of God, by the power of His Word, in with and under the bread and wine. This is my body. This is my blood. It tastes like wine. It tastes like a cracker, like unleavened bread. But Christ says, this is my body. This is my blood. And with it, the forgiveness of all of our sins. Complete and total remission of sins. When I say that word remission, I hope what you're hearing in that is the sending away of sins. More on that tomorrow night in the Good Friday sermon. The scapegoat, the sending away of our sins. But it is a wonderful meal that we celebrate with the Lord today. And the only fear that we Christians ought to have as we take this Holy Supper is that we'll go home and not be changed, not be different. We come to confess our sins to the Lord, to admit freely and openly that we're guilty of everything wrong, whether we know the sins or whether we don't. Guilty of breaking all God's commandments because this blood of Christ washes all that away. And then when we go back to our homes and our work and back to school, back to our families, back to our relatives, God wants it to show. And that's why the Lord wants us to keep on celebrating this. He told the Israelites to do this as a memorial feast in the Passover. He tells us, New Testament Israelites, do this in remembrance of me. So we have a special service on Maundy Thursday, which is actually one of three special services, the 3 days. Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, then basically our Easter dawn service. That's why this evening, after the singing of Psalm 88, the pastor will quietly exit the chancel. The ushers will not usher you out. This service is really not ending tonight. It's waiting for tomorrow's second service in the three, the Good Friday service tomorrow evening at 7, the Tenebrae service of darkness. Worshippers may remain for prayer and meditation before dispersing quietly this evening. It's the Lord's Passover. He is our Passover Lamb. May we celebrate always His grace and mercy. This God who thinks of these things so long ago, then brings them about and gives us independence, freedom in Christ. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.